Thank you, Gordon. Thank you. Just want to get this set up this morning so we can utilize another medium. All right. It's kind of a beat-up one, but it still plays a role. It has a function. Has some life in it. That's right. That's right. Just because you're banged up a little bit doesn't mean you're no good. Right? Seabiscuit. Remember Seabiscuit movie? We talked about that. Just because you're banged up a little doesn't mean you're no good. Well, I'm glad you're here today because we want to launch a four-week. Now, again, next week is Mother's Day, and Brother Mike will be here to share the word. Peggy and I, along with Dan and Linda, will be traveling. We're going to be in Iowa visiting our kids, our grandkids, and then family members in the context of the Dutch tradition of Tulip Time Festival. So we'll be eating bratwurst and Dutch bologna, which is unlike anything you've ever tasted. It's amazing. My mother's potato salad, I'm sure we'll get a chance to taste that. We're going to have a blast, we pray, for safe travels for that as well. We're going to miss you guys, but we have a five Sunday May. So the five Sundays, four of those, we're going to use talking about this idea of evangelism and just saying the word. I know for some of you, for many of you, just kind of puts a tremor up and down your spine. You're thinking, oh no, where is he going with this? What is Pastor David going to get us into now? If you're thinking, I'm going to go handing out tracts, knocking on doors, preaching on the church corners, leave me out. I understand that. Leave me out of that too. Not interested. We're talking about relationships. Relationships. So you can just kind of relax a little bit. We've got an interesting way of thinking about this. Just walk across the room. I'm going to be explaining that today and over these 4 weeks. Talk to you a little bit about why we're doing this series. Actually, there are four reasons. The first is we are not demonstrating sustained growth. We aren't. We're plateaued. I don't know what our headcount is. What's our headcount today, Mary? 52. That is fairly typical these days. Once in a while, we bump into the 60s. That's awesome. We've hit into the upper 60s, almost 70 a few times. That's great. Easter Sunday was 100. That was fantastic. But basically, truth be told, we're kind of stalled out right here, right? That's unacceptable. It just is. Because I need to be a pastor of a large church? No. No. I've pastored in churches of over 1,000 on a weekend attendance, three services, thing. Okay, it's not about numbers, but it is. Because you know what a number represents? A person. It represents a person in the pew. And it represents a person either in or out of relationship to Jesus Christ. So, to be a part of this church, I shared this back in January when we talked about the State of the Church address. If you're going to be a part of this church, you're going to be a part of a small group, and we're going to be reaching people for Jesus. It's just that simple. Now, if you don't want to do that, am I saying you've got to leave? No, I'm just saying just kind of be on notice. That's what we're about. That's what this church is going to be about, is reaching people for Jesus. We want to fill this place, not because, oh, does that make us feel special? The place is full. Has nothing to do with it. We had a whole series on making God proud. It's time we made God proud on this issue, all right? Now, the second reason we're doing this is because one of our small groups has asked for some help on this topic. They've said, look, we want to do some more outreach. We want to be a little bit more effective, but we're really not sure how to do it. Can you help us with this? So it's been the back of my mind. I've gotten the request, I don't know, a couple of months ago. We were already in a series, kind of thinking, okay, where are we going? What are we doing next? Did the what, how to do in church God's way. We did that whole series. And just kind of been percolating in my mind, okay, where does this thing about outreach fit in? And so in my mind, it was going to be the next one, which is the third series of this year. And interestingly, you heard Barbara and Gordon share last week, the entire East Coast of the Free Methodist Church is saying, it is time we got off of our comfort zone and we started reaching people for Jesus. And we're going to use small groups to do that. Not the worship service, small groups. If people get to the worship service, that's great. But that is going to be the way that we do this. So that's another reason we're doing it. And that's a good thing, because we want to be a part of what the denomination is doing too. We talked about, Pastor Dan uses the word, we're a connectional church. That means we're connected to other Free Methodist churches around the entire globe. But right now, the East Coast has banded together to say, this is what we're going to do. All right? And then the fourth reason is, going back to the series we just finished, we don't want to be indifferent Christians, do we?
No, ma'am. No, sir.
Thank you. No, sir. All right. We do not want to be indifferent Christians, right? We want to have an appropriate motivation to be reaching people. We're going to talk about that today. What we're going to discover is that evangelism can be as simple as taking a walk across a room. I'm going to expand on that concept a little bit, but I just want to kind of keep the picture together for a moment. Now, and it was interesting, you know, we think of people that really can't walk across the room all that well, and Florence isn't here today, but she was here Wednesday, and you know what? I thought about it later. She showed up to help out with ESL class. She had her walker and so forth, but she drove herself over here. She got out of the car, got herself in the building, and got back to where I was at with my students. Okay, so let's just say it this way. None of us has an excuse.
Amen.
We all can literally walk across a room. So we're all on the hook. All right, Matt, can we watch this DVD? Bill Hybels is the author of the book, and kind of the author of the series, kind of the inspiration behind this. Let's get to meet him a second here. Go ahead, Matt.
Almost every golfer I know would like to spend a session on the practice tee with Tiger Woods. I mean, learn from the best.
You know, this was made a little earlier,
right?
Business
people I know always dream about having dinner with Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. Just a lot to learn from guys like that. Musicians want to hang out with Bono. Sailors, they all want to get on a boat sometime with Dennis Conner or Russell Coutts. But those of us who are Christ followers, I think we should probably imagine what it would be like to be able to sit down to dinner with Jesus Christ and just learn from the Master, learn from the one who would walk into various social settings and just have a beam on who needed attention, who needed grace, who needed a word of encouragement. He would walk right across in those settings, and he would offer it freely and lovingly, compassionately. We have the opportunity to learn from the Master, and we can become the kinds of people who walk across rooms just like he did.
Okay, all right. Well, technology is a wonderful thing when it works, right? Okay, all right. Right there at the end, if we would all do just the small thing that we can do, we would touch a lot more lives. Does that make sense? If we would all do the thing that we can do, we would touch a lot more lives. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It does. It does. So, again, as a Christ follower, isn't that really what is in your heart anyway, is to touch people? To get people that are disconnected from God, get them connected to Him? Is that what's on your heart? I need to hear something. I hear a few amens, okay? This is why we're doing the series, okay? By the time we get to the end of this and I say, is this on your heart? I need to hear this place rock. All right? Make sense? Okay. All right. So, this metaphor, just walk across the room, is kind of the concept that we're going to be using for the series. In fact, those of you who, the leaders all have the book that this kind of is about. Because the books are like $12 or $13, I only could put them in the hands of the small group leaders, but if your small group wants to get the book, you'll see the story. I'm going to talk about it just a little bit today, but there's just a wonderful story about a business meeting, and in that business meeting, There is an African-American man off the side. He's in a part of the Muslim faith, but he's connected to these other folks because of the same business that they're involved in. And what happened is this white guy walked across the room, introduced himself, and over a period of weeks and months was able to share eventually. He first just let the man tell him about why he was connected to the Muslim faith. And then eventually the man said, you know, you've been so patient and so interested in listening to me. He said, you know, I kind of grew up in the Christian church, but because of our situation, we left. He said, so tell me what's going on in Christianity these days. And over a period of weeks and months, this man came to reclaim Jesus as his Savior, and then his wife and his kids also came to faith in Jesus Christ. It all started with a walk across the room. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. Now, the next slide. The single greatest gift Christ followers can give to the people around them is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and who has a purpose for their life. That's the single greatest gift that we can give to folks. Nothing beats it. I don't care if you played the lottery and hit it big. It doesn't compare. If you got the dream job you were always looking for, it wouldn't compare. Getting a fancy new car wouldn't compare. Getting recognition from someone that you really look up to and respect, it wouldn't compare to giving this single greatest gift. So what does it all boil down to? Basically, evangelism amounts to this: constantly watching for ways to give this gift, the single greatest gift, to someone who is disconnected from God. That's what it takes. That's what it's all about. Constantly watching. All right? In order, though, for that to happen, we have to be open to God using us. We have to be open to that. And you know what the neat thing is about this? If you're open to being used by God, guess what? He does. He does. He cannot and will not use someone who's closed off to him. Someone who just wants to kind of live their own life, their own way. Safe, predictable, no risk, no guts, no glory kind of a life. That's, you know, he'll leave you alone. He'll let you do it. But if you're willing to put yourself under his control, in his hands, he's saying, all right, if you'll let yourself be usable, God will use you. Just keep that in mind, all right? However, to kind of get in that place of being usable, the first step that we have to take is extricating ourselves from what's called the circle of comfort. And if I'm willing to leave my circle of comfort and walk across that room, extend my hand, introduce myself, I have been used by God already. So that's the kind of the first step. Extricate ourselves from that. And that's what it takes. So the first point is, on your outline, is to enter the zone of the unknown. To be willing to share that single greatest gift, I have to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. Now, I'm going to try to draw some pictures. I'm going to make them really simple because I don't even have time to do stick figures, and my stick figures wouldn't look like stick figures anyway. So I'm just going to use X's. Here's a circle of comfort, and each X represents a person. Okay? These are people that are just standing, talking. It may be at a social function of some kind. It may be at your school. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be at a garage sale. It may be in a restaurant. Don't think just about a room. I don't want this to be a limited concept. Here's the thing. Here's a circle of comfort. These folks know each other. These folks have all kinds of things in common. There's just kind of predictability. It's a low risk. It's a safe place. It's an enjoyable place to kind of hang out in the circle of comfort. But here's the situation. We're talking about the walk across the room. Here's what happens. There is someone over here, another person, who doesn't really have a lot in common necessarily with these folks over here. But, whoops, grabbed the wrong thing here. Here's what happens. When someone in this circle has their heart, their mind, okay, they're being usable by God, they're going to see that there's someone, okay, over here. And as they listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. As you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're going to know if this is a person God wants you to interact with. And when God says, go, we go. We say, excuse me. All you have to say to your circle of friends is, excuse me, there's someone I need to meet. And just like the story, the small group leaders are going to read this and hopefully they'll tell you about it. Okay? It's an awesome story, but I don't have time to do it this morning. Here's a contact. Here's the situation. I put myself in this place. I have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, there is someone on the other side of the room that I want you to talk to. I want you to go introduce yourself. Now, here's, okay, so the person leaves the circle, comes over here, and they are now in a conversation. Let's talk a little bit about this journey from here to here. Right in that time is when you continue in kind of a mode of prayer. Because if the Holy Spirit is not involved in this whole process, you're not doing God's will. All right? If you never hear God say, leave the circle of comfort, you're closed off and you're of no use. But if you think you hear God speak to you to leave the circle every time, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit then either, because the Holy Spirit is not going to have you meet everybody. We have to be completely God-dependent, Holy Spirit-dependent, to do what we're going to talk about in these next 4 weeks. Because here's the problem. We can do far more damage than good if we are not Holy Spirit-led. Very important. So, what I'm doing is I'm walking as I go over here to meet this person. God has whispered into my heart, into my mind, into my ear, is to say, I want you to go over here. Now I'm praying. Okay? This is a high-risk deal. It is. I don't know what it is I'm walking into. That's why we call it the zone of the unknown. Anybody ever been in that kind of a zone? That zone of the unknown? Amen. It's a little unnerving, isn't it? Thank you for raising your hand. That's good. That's good. Even the teacher didn't raise his hand. He just... I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You are well trained. So, yes, Gene, he is well trained. It is risky. This, we don't have a circle of comfort anymore, okay? This is that zone of the unknown. I've entered it at risk. But I'm not alone. That's why this is Holy Spirit dependent. If I have entered this zone on the voice of the Holy Spirit, I can go with confidence knowing that God is orchestrating something here. Do I know what it is? No. I do not go with a whole list of verses. I don't go with a pre-planned agenda. I don't go with tracts in my pocket. Leave them home. God doesn't need that. What he needs is a willing person that will walk across the room, extend a hand, say, hi, my name is David. What's yours? Get to know each other. In the story, these folks spent weeks together. And the Christian never once talked. He listened. He asked questions. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your kids. Where are you involved in this business that we share in common? Things like that. A relationship was built. So don't bring an agenda. Just an ear that's listening. A heart that is moldable by the Holy Spirit. Make sense? Okay, I have no idea where I'm at in my notes. I got all excited. Zone of the unknown, there it is. It's in the zone of the unknown where God often does his best work. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, the image. the picture is pretty straightforward. It's not any more complicated than this. I have already explained the entire thing. I'm going to break it down and kind of give you a little bit of detail on each of those. But that is the picture. So what I want you to start beginning to imagine, though, in your mind, is this process, being this kind of person. Let yourself begin to imagine that you leave the circle of comfort. Under the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, you walk across the room and God uses you, your faithfulness, to impact someone for eternity. Let yourself imagine what that is like. Think about that for a moment. This man that was reached in the story was married, had kids. Their eternal destinies have been changed forever. Do you want to be a part of that kind of activity? Amen. Amen. So, what we want to keep in mind is that one of the top priorities of the Holy Spirit is to turn every one of us into this kind of person. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit's agenda is to get every one of us to be a walk across the room kind of person. God has a plan to reach the lost people of this world. Why He chooses to use you and me, I don't know. Because, you see, for every one person that leaves the circle, there's a whole lot more that stay behind. Why does God use us? It blows my mind. It does. I mean, we're stubborn, we're self-willed, we're selfish. I'll do what I want to do. I'm not going to leave my circle of comfort. I'm talking to my friends. Why does He use us? But He does. We're His plan, folks. There is no plan B. We are it. If we are going to make God proud, if we are not going to be indifferent, then we have to have some way of reaching people for Jesus because He's asked us to. Matthew 28, go and make disciples, right? That is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an optional, okay, pick A, B, or C. It's not that way. It's one thing. It's go. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what cultural or ethnic background you've come from. The Holy Spirit's agenda is to make every one of us a walk across the room person. It's just that simple. Nobody's left out. Really. Here's the thing. This indifference that I see, and I see it in my own self. I mean, this thing has fired me up. I came here Wednesday. I had to read the book so I could pass it on. And so I had pretty much finished the book by Wednesday morning. I came here to this medical mobile clinic with a whole different perspective. I was listening. I said, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? And God gave me two people in particular out of around eight or so that were here that day. Just to connect with. Just to connect with. And I spent probably a good 30 to 40 minutes talking to one of those people. She was waiting for her brother. And God was using it. It was obvious that the timing was perfect. God was, I was willing. Okay? That's what it took. I haven't always come here. I don't always go to the store necessarily with that perspective. But these days, this week, I've got a new perspective. So, we're not off the hook. Here's the problem. Spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia. A lot of us are suffering spiritual amnesia. We have forgotten just how personal Jesus wants to be with us and this gift of love that He's given us. The last series we did, we talked about coming back to our first love. Remember that? In the letter that Jesus wrote to the Ephesians, come back to your first love. We've forgotten our first love. We have. We need to be reminded from time to time. And this series, I think, is going to do that in a very powerful way. All right, so we have to leave that, leave the circle of comfort, go into the zone of the unknown. But We've got to have the Holy Spirit's direction to do that. That's the next slide, right? Listening for the Spirit's promptings. That's the next thing. I don't think I've ever talked about this from the pulpit. I've shared it with some people when I talk about my dislike of tracts. Before we came down here, I was working for my brother in a meat market, and there was this one guy. I only saw him, I think, two or maybe three times. The first time, I didn't, of course, know him from anybody else. He came in, ordered some stuff, and just before he was leaving the building, he slaps a tract down on the counter. Kept right on walking, right out the door. I was ticked. I was offended. I was hot. I said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And you know what the issue I have with that is? I was simply an object in his project. That's all I was. I was not a person to him. If I was a person, he would have said, "Is this okay if I give something to you about Jesus?" Or something like, "Could we talk about this sometime?" There's no relationship. Okay? If you don't want to reach people through relationship, then don't do it. Don't chicken out and hand somebody a tract like a sniper and do a hit and run. Okay? No hit and run in evangelism. You hear me? No hit and run. So don't ever expect me to put a tract in your hand and tell you to hit the streets. It's not going to happen. If God tells you to give something to someone, that's a different story altogether. This guy I'm talking about, this example that I experienced, God didn't tell him to give a pastor a tract. Trust me. God knows where I'm at. So I know that guy wasn't listening to Jesus. If we are going to be effective, walk across the room kind of people, get into that danger zone, that zone of the unknown, we have to be Holy Spirit directed. Make sense? Okay. Does that make sense? It might. All right. All right. So, we have to be willing to walk when the Spirit says walk. We have to be willing to talk when the Spirit says talk. And we have to be willing to stay put when the Holy Spirit doesn't give us a direction. We have to be willing to keep our mouth shut when the Holy Spirit doesn't give us something to say. Submission. Submission to the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. Prerequisite. Got to have it. Next slide. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Can you see that from back there? It's kind of small. Mary, can you see that? Almost. Betty, can you see that? You can read it. Would you start us off? Okay. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. Let's read it out loud together. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Sound familiar? Where have you seen that before? Very good. Very good. Very good. Where else? Look on the front of your bulletin. It's right there. It's right there. Absolutely. It's our mission statement. That's the kind of church we want to be. And how are we going to be that kind of church unless we're those kind of people that leave the circle of comfort, take a Holy Spirit-inspired walk, and enter the zone of the unknown? We can't do it, folks. That's why we're doing this series. We're going to take a month. We're going to camp out with this thing. I hope that we don't forget about it at the end of May. Because there's a whole ministry season coming that is based on this stuff we're doing during the month of May. Now, what has to happen in order for salt to be any good? Is salt that stays over here going to be effective? Salt has to have proximity. It has to be on something. in order to actually have a benefit. If all we do is stay in our circle of comfort, we are worthless salt. What Jesus is referring to about salt that's laid out and trampled is the impurities in the salt they got from the Dead Sea. The salt wasn't that good, so there was a lot of impurities, and they would actually, it would kind of almost form like an asphalt. So they threw on the roads, and you just kept walking over it, and the roads were less dusty. That's what Jesus is talking about here. But we don't want to be worthless. I don't want Jesus to look at me and see me as just one of those kind of people that's unwilling to move. Got my feet glued in a comfort zone, unwilling to go anywhere. I don't want Jesus to see me like that. I don't want Jesus to look at you that way. Okay? All right. Oh, I'm not even sure why I use notes today. I don't have a clue where I'm at. Let's talk a little bit about the laws of averages here. There are maybe a couple of you here that are kind of tracking with this and saying, I've been in that zone of the unknown. It is kind of a scary place. I understand that. Most of you are probably saying, okay, I understand the concept. I understand that you want this to be that kind of a church. But quite frankly, if I'm just going to be honest with you, I haven't given this much of thought. I really haven't studied this. I've never experienced it. I've always stayed right here. Not sure that I'm necessarily one of those kind of people. I mean, aren't these people kind of the super spiritual, like the superstars of the church? See? I'm not skilled. I don't have the gift of evangelism. You know what's interesting? Matthew 28, when Jesus says, go, he's not talking to the evangelists. He's talking to the church. Everyone is to go. Every one of these people in this circle is to be a walk across the room kind of person. So you don't have to have the quick mind and the relational aptitude and the right skill level and all that kind of stuff. All you have to be is willing to be used by God. So, and greeted. And breathing, yes. Yeah, we got to have that. Absolutely. Got to have that. Yeah, just keeping it real, there is anxiety. Okay, there is risk involved. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm not trying to paint a picture like, oh, this is just a breeze. It isn't. It's a little bit intimidating. But so what? So what? If this is really the place, it doesn't get any better than, how can this ever compare? For the man that did the walk across the room that Bill uses as the example, do you think he would ever want to stay in that circle ever again? No, he is going to be listening. Lord, now? Is she the one? Is he the one? Can I go now? It becomes contagious. I want to be a part of it. I want to experience. And this is the danger. This is why we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, because there's a high here, folks. That's exciting stuff. It doesn't get any better than that. And it's easy to say, I'm going every time. No, don't. Don't. Listen for the Spirit's promptings. Amen? Amen. All right. So, here's what I want you, I'm hoping and praying that you will discover in the next several weeks, is the Holy Spirit wants every one of us to be a walk across the room person. Okay? That's His desire. And what I want you to begin to kind of bring inside of your own self is that this is a wonder to be a part of. It is. To be a part of that which is eternal. That's what we get a chance to be a part of here, folks. To be a part of that which is eternal. So, that's what we're in for. Okay? Point number three. Just walk. just walk. Romans 5, verse 8. We have that? Can you see that back there, Betty? All right, let's read it out loud together. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. You believe that? While we were sinners, Christ demonstrated for us His love by dying for us. So how did He do that exactly? Let's see the next slide. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5 through verse 8. Have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What's Paul telling us happened here? How did Jesus demonstrate His love for us while we were sinners? Jesus took a walk. Jesus took a long walk, didn't He? He took a walk out of... Think about this for a moment. Jesus was embedded in this circle of comfort. We talk about the relational capacity of that triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the angels worshiping before the throne. Is that the kind of thing you'd want to hang out with? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So what does Jesus do? He walked across the universe. Think about that. He walked across the universe for you, for me. What do you think? I'm thankful. Why'd He do it? Why did He give up this comfort right here? We just lose our PowerPoint again. Needs to be replaced, obviously, huh? We've known that for a while. We've just been hanging on, hoping. Why did Jesus make that walk? Absolutely. Out of love. Out of love. He demonstrated His love to us, and while we were still sinners, He died for us. Yeah. But there's more to it than that. You see, Jesus, like Bill Hybels was saying, if we could just kind of sit at dinner with the Master and learn from the Master, well, we can read these kind of passages and learn from the Master. The Master took a walk across the universe. We just have to take a walk across the room. He wants us to be these kind of people. So He died for us for our sins, yes, but He also died to show us how to live the kind of life that He's asking us to live. He's saying, walk across the room, walk across a street, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's from your driveway to your neighbor's driveway. If you're listening, if you're looking, and this person was looking, okay? Not just here inside the circle. This person had one eye over here around the room. If you're willing to look, keep your eyes open, God is going to show you what kind of room to walk across. It may be a classroom. It may be a conference room. Wherever it is, are you willing to leave the circle of comfort and take a risky walk into the zone of the unknown? Are you willing to be obedient? The disciples themselves got a little distracted by life sometimes. And it's easy for us to do the same thing, isn't it? We've got things to do, places to go, people to see, as we say. We all have things that are important, don't we? Are we willing to give that up? To be a walk across the room kind of person. That's the question. Am I willing to give that up or not? I want to close with a couple lines from Bill's book. See how this strikes you. Jesus Christ knew that fulfilling his redemptive mission would be excruciatingly difficult, risky, downright defeating, and seemingly fruitless for us at times. But if you will just persevere, he might say, the potential is colossal. Think of it. One more treasure, a priceless human being, might be snatched from the clutches of a horrendous, lifeless eternity because of your work. So go. Go right now and bear witness. Sow the seed. Take the walk across the room. Leave what's comfortable for that which is eternally significant. Risk your life for this and know that you will never regret your decision. Is that powerful? I mean, that sends goosebumps down my spine. I've heard the man speak in public. In fact, it was under his speaking in the ministry, the Holy Spirit fell on me so powerfully, I'm standing here today. He plucked me from a comfort zone and put me where he wanted me to be. Bill Hybels has an anointing on him that is amazing. When I read this kind of stuff, it puts me in a puddle. I started reading that book, I started bawling. Just being reminded again of the passion he has for the church and for us to be this kind of person. So we have the single greatest gift. Every one of us that has received Jesus Christ as our Savior has received a gift, and the gift is not just ours to enjoy, to hang on to hoard. It is a gift to also be passed on. We're God's plan to do that in this entire universe. If we're willing to leave the circle of comfort, take a walk across the room into the zone of the unknown, we can be a part of that. As we spend some time in this month, and let me just say this too. If your small group needs more than 4 weeks to go through this material, take as much time as you need. This is critical stuff. All right? So small group leaders, just understand that. Take as much time as you need. In fact, maybe the next series that starts in June, I'll try to make it so that if you want to go back and do Life's Healing Choices, or you want to spend some time in the Revelation series, or you want to go back through this a couple times, you'll have the freedom to kind of do that. Well, I'll give that some thought and talk with Pastor Dan about it. One of the things that we want to learn in this series is how to engage in conversation in ways that build bridges and not turn people off. It's real easy to come across with some kind of spiritual superiority. I've got something and you don't. I'm going to let you know it. Okay? It's easy to be obnoxious. It's easy to get real churchy, use all kind of church language. And folks that have been in church for a while, they've lost track of how to carry on those kind of conversations because they hang around with all a bunch of Christians and don't know how to talk to people in the real world. It is a hazard. It is a danger. Holy Spirit doesn't want that kind of comfort zone being built. Looking, listening, and walking. So, as we learn together over these four weeks, I want to offer you some things to think about. Some guarantees. All right? Kind of risky, but all right. Here we go. First guarantee is this. We are all going to grow in our relationship with Jesus in this month. Okay? We are. Second guarantee, we are going to grow in relationship with each other because we are all going to be in a small group for 4 weeks at minimum, studying this stuff, getting it down. So we're going to grow in relationship with each other as well. Also, we're going to get a lot better. We're going to have the kind of skills to take us from being glued here to being willing to listen and to move. We're going to be able to influence people, to introduce people, to hand out gifts when God says hand out gifts. We'll do that. And finally, we're going to have a blast doing it. We are. We're going to have a ball doing this together. We are. To feel like we are a part of a massive movement, not just the Free Methodist Church, but worldwide. The Holy Spirit is always looking for those kind of people. Always. And if we're willing to be that kind of person, we're willing to be used by God. That's what he's looking for. So, reminder, if you're not in a small group, let's take care of business real quick. Barbara, your group is Tuesday night?
Tuesday night, 7 o'clock.
Right here at the church?
At Gordon's.
Oh, you're at Gordon's house still?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So 7 o'clock, Barbara's group, Tuesday nights at Gordon's house. Okay, Henry, you're going to do?
Tuesday night,
yes.
They're coming back
the 2 weeks from today. They'll be here on the 16th.
So that would be the 18th at 7
o'clock. Okay, so their small group's going to be picking up. And also, go ahead.
Thursday night,
7 o'clock here at the church. Okay. Okay, when are you doing this one? Oh, you're involved. Okay, all right. Okay. And Jean's group. Okay, so, okay, Gordon. 7 to 11? 9 to 11, all right. I thought maybe you opened a convenience store. All right.
9 to 11, my house, a week from this Wednesday will be starting.
Okay, so you're starting the 15th. Okay, so we've got Barbara's group is starting on this Tuesday night. Okay, your group, Thursday night here, music ministry. Okay, all right. So we have got a number of options. If you are not in a small group, then, again, leaders, would you please stand up this time? Just stand up. Okay, so people can see your face. Get with these folks after the service and get connected. You do not want to miss this. All right? Do not want to miss this. Thank you, small group leaders. And again, Dan and Linda will be back as well. All right. Let's wrap this thing up. Let me get this stuff out of your music team's way. They're going to be coming back up here in just a moment. What do you think? You ready to sign up?
Amen.
Amen. All right, I got a few people that are awake and listening. Anybody else? Ready to sign up?
Yes.
Sign me up? All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have inspired your servant, Bill Hybels, to write and be able to present the materials that we're studying. Lord, as we get kind of our first taste of this today, we are excited, but there are some here, the Lord, this morning are absolutely feeling petrified, and they cannot even imagine themselves breaking out of that circle of comfort. Their heartbeats racing, their palms are sweating, scared to death. Lord Jesus, fill us again today with your Spirit. Empower us, Lord. Make us bold for you. We want some boldness, Lord. Not to look big or good, but to have the courage to get close to some people, to be the right kind of salty, so we can bring some flavor and some substance to people's lives. Doing it because you took a walk across this universe for us. And we want to show you our love by passing on this single greatest gift. So encourage us, Lord. Help us to see with your eyes. Help us to speak with your voice, to reach out with your hands, to walk with your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Sean and Cam, if you could continue to strum for a minute. Just a final thought. Sometimes, and I shared this last week, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I just have to jot down some notes. He's speaking to me again this morning. Just something for you to think about. If we are not willing as a church to do the will of God, then our mission, our vision, and our purpose, it doesn't mean anything. We need to make an effort to walk across the room, so to speak, and put our faith to the test. We do not want to be a congregation of pew sitters, do we? So if I ever had that chance to have lunch or dinner with Jesus Christ, I'm sure he would say to me, "What are you waiting for? Or when are you going to start?" And the answer that I want to be able to say to him is, "Here I am, Lord. Send me, because I'm forever grateful."
You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. You did not wait for me to come back to you, but you spread your arms and died a death for me. You did not wait for me, face my fears alone, but you came and held me in your loving arms. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for that you came to seek and save the lost. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
Amen. 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 Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. All right, we're going to collect your communication cards. Trust you've got those filled out, ready to be turned in. Just pass those towards the middle. We'll collect them. So if you're not in a small group, in fact, small group leaders, why don't you head out first? Go on out there. I know Barbara's back there somewhere. If you want to get here Tuesday night, make sure you find her before you leave. Other small group leaders, head on back there. Get connected. We have some more participants' guides laying on that table back there, right underneath that white banner. If you need a participants' guide, make sure you get back there, grab one of those, or two if you're a couple, whatever. Make sure we've got plenty of them, all right? All right? Ready to head out into the week? Yes? No? Need some more time? You want to hang out a little while? All right, we'll hang out here. Please receive this blessing from the Lord. May the passion of the Holy Spirit fill you with the power to be a walk across the room kind of person. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we'll see you next week. I won't. I will see you in 2 weeks. God bless you.